Well, we have just finished a great section on great anime. Oh, wait, it wasn't that great.
No,
but
no.
We do have some good anime coming up.
We have more reviews.
Mice and Ikkaku.
Uh-huh.
We have Hyper Police.
Yep.
And Night on the Galaxy Railroad?
Galactic
Railroad.
But don't worry too much, DV3. I'm sure that the insignificance of the... we'll get to that. DV3 here, of course, has not seen these ones that I'm about to review.
It is true.
Sir, have we ever met before?
No.
And he is going to be my assistant with my next trick. Okay, now, as you can see, I have nothing up my sleeves.
He doesn't even have sleeves.
I don't have sleeves. I have short t-shirt sleeves.
Right.
Okay, so now, if you will observe, sir, do not avert your eyes at all.
All right.
I have three anime reviews. And if you will, sir, try to go and comment on these, make sure they are real reviews, and let the audience know for certain that these are actually entirely real and not merely optical illusions.
All right, I'll see what I can do for you.
Okay, now, if you'll observe, I have a Mice and Ikkaku review here. You can see the front,
yep.
You can see the back.
I see both.
Looks like a perfectly ordinary review, yes?
Yes, yes.
But it's a dove!
Wow.
Is it amazing?
That's the most beautiful dove I've ever seen.
And look, now it's a Rubik's Cube.
A Rubik's Cube?
Yes, and now it's back to a review.
Oh, man.
Is that not incredible? Well, let me show you the contents of this review. Now, do not avert your eyes, for it may be shocking to some.
I may miss it.
Third disc of box set 3, Mice and Ikkaku.
Wow.
Okay, so, what we've got in this one, I'm going to go and pull up the back of the box description, as it's been a while. We have a bit of a queue built up. Watch this, like... I don't know, a week or two ago. And my apologies, by the way, for not having an episode out on Sunday. Some DV3 said he couldn't be on the show until Tuesday, and then it became Wednesday.
But I made it. I made it.
Oh, well, you made it. That's true.
Better than some people who...
Look, our website was hacked, and our message board got screwed up, and that totally threw me off. I was used to checking the message board every day, and then I was like, had to change my schedule, you know, to not be doing that anymore. Okay, so, let's see here. DV3, will you do your anime set piece, you know, like at the beginning of anime where they're like, it is the third period of the reign of the Green Emperor. It is a time of much chaos among the lot. But do that with this box set disc 3, Mice and Ikkaku.
All right. The competition for Kyoko's affections heat up as Godai and Coach Mitaka both compete for her love and attention. Factor in unusual misunderstandings at Mice and Ikkaku, and Godai's life is turned upside down. He mistakenly believes that Kyoko and Mitaka are to be married. Devastated by the news, Godai moves out of Mice and Ikkaku. Will he ever return?
Dun dun dun. Okay. So, as you can imagine, especially if you've been listening to the show for a while now, it's your typical Mice and Ikkaku DVD. There is absolutely nothing in this episode which comes as a surprise to anyone. It has episodes 33 through 36, and it's just like the first one, of course, the patented huge misunderstanding where Mitaka asks Kyoko to be his partner in such an important event, and she agrees, and Godai, of course, hears the gossip, and... it turns out, Mitaka wasn't asking her to go and get married. He was asking her to help him with his sister's wedding preparations. You know, because it's so important, he has to ask her to help with this. And of course, Godai goes and he gets all upset and he's like, now there's no reason for me to stay at Ikkaku because, you know, Kyoko is gone and I have no chance. So he moves out. And he's living with, he moves into this apartment, and then all of a sudden this, if you will, sexy lady shows up, and he's like, what in the world is this lady doing here and everything? And then this her big brawny husband shows up, and he's like, "What are you doing here?" And Godai thinks he's all in trouble, and he says to his wife, "You need to help me get the rest of the stuff back in here." Turns out that they're actually the previous renters of the room.
Oh, boy.
And they had been kicked out for not paying, and they hadn't found a new place yet, so they decided to go and move back in while Godai lives there. And so, of course, Kyoko goes, and a package is delivered to Mai Sunikaku. And so, instead of just sending it, though she won't admit she, you know, her feelings for Godai are strong, just, you know, oh, I'm the apartment manager, it's important to take care of my attendants. So she goes, visits him at this apartment to give him this package. And, of course, the sexy lady answers the door. And she, you know, mistakes it when she says, "Oh yes, Godai and I have been living together for a couple of weeks now," and everything. So it's all heartbroken, blah blah blah. And then, oh, all of a sudden, everything's made better, and all the misunderstandings are cleared up, and they become closer and whatnot. So it's pretty crazy. Or maybe that was the second disc.
Well, it has the exact same one for all three.
Hey, that was cheap! Well, anyways, then there's another episode where his grandma decides to go and help him move along with his love life because, as we know, Godai is stringing this poor girl along, not Kyoko, the other one, whose name I can't remember. You know, the cute one. And keep stringing her along and not telling her that, you know, he's basically going out with her because he's lonely, but he really loves the manager, but he's not putting any moves on the manager. So his grandma comes along and she's like, "Oh, I have to go and, you know, help Godai get along and you know, further his romantic interests." So at first, she tries to go and she goes along with Godai to his girlfriend's apartment, meets her parents and everything, and tells them that Godai was planning on proposing to her and everything, and he's like, "Grandma, don't say that," and she's like, "Are you saying you don't want to marry me, Godai?" And he goes, well, I never said that, and then there's just all sorts of other things that crop up. And
poor Godai.
And then he says to his grandma, "Look, I don't want you interfering, but if you must know, it's Kyoko that I have really strong affections with." And she's like, "Oh, Kyoko doesn't want to go out with a loser like you who's still going to college and doesn't have money to support yourself, let alone her and a family and whatnot." But anyways, his grandma kind of takes pity on him and sets him up on a date with her, which is set up to be a nice, you know, Sunday date. But his grandma is doing this to go in and see who he gets along better with and try to encourage him to go after that particular girl. So what she does is, instead of following around, because, you know, Godai wasn't happy when she followed around on his other date, she goes and she assigns the Mai Sunikaku patrons to go and follow him for her. They're supposed to be subtle, casual, and blend into the background. But, of course, you've got crazy things happening, like, you know, they grab over the seats and eat his popcorn at the movies, and so, you know, discovers him that way. Or, like, the mom goes and takes her son to the toy store where Kyoko and Godai are hanging out, and, of course, "Oh, I'm just here to buy this for my son," and then she's, like, there the whole time. So, eventually, Godai and Kyoko figure out what's going on as far as that they're actually following them and not just coincidentally at the same place. And so they just decide to take off running, and they're running everywhere trying to get away from them. And so Godai is happy about all of this at the end because he gets to spend time with the manager, and they work together and grew closer because of it and everything. And she had fun at the places that they did go outside of the, you know, his neighbors being there. And so he was really happy about the whole way the date turned out. But of course, this is Mai Sunikaku, and so we can't just have it end on a high note for Mr. Godai.
Poor Godai.
At this point, at the end of the episode, all of the people from Mai Sunikaku give their reports to his grandma. And so the first one says, oh, they couldn't have been more bored looking because they weren't interested in the movie at all and left in the middle of it. And another one's like, yeah, they were at the toy store playing around like they were just a couple of kids or something. And the third one's like, yeah, and then when they were at that romantic restaurant, all they had was ice water, and then they left. And then they're like, it was so sad, they were so bored, they just decided to go on a jog all around the city and whatnot. And so his grandma thinks to herself, oh, the Godai has no chance with this girl if they were both so very bored. But on the plus side, Godai's grandma went and told him how when she was younger, there were two, exactly the same situation, two gentlemen vying for her affections. One was rich, well off, had a stable job and everything. And then there was the other one, and they both loved her, but she chose Godai's grandfather, who wasn't the rich one, because she knew that he, like, truly loved her and would be, you know, a good husband for her and everything.
Too bad that doesn't happen in your life.
Kind of gave Godai encouragement. Yeah, no kidding. Gave Godai encouragement, but then started, you know, like my grandmother, ripping on him on how, you know, he should really go and become better and how he's no good if he keeps doing what he's doing and what have you.
All right, but NZ, I have a question for you.
Yes, Mr. DB3?
At the start of the show, you said this was going to be the last Maisonikaku.
That is indeed correct.
Why is that?
I'm glad you asked, because that provides an opportunity for me to tell. This is going to be the last Maisonikaku review on Acer Radio because I'm tired of dealing with Maisonikaku. It's just one ridiculous episode after another, slowly increasing the love life of Godai and Kyoko at a glacier-like pace. Oh, for those listening in 2040, glaciers were very large ice flows from the northern and southern poles of the Earth. The reason, and so because of this, I am going to continue watching Maisonikaku all the way up until I get bored with the series.
All right.
But after reviewing 9 separate discs on Acer Radio, I think I've more or less covered this series, its potential, and what it does. And so, while I will no longer be reviewing Maisonikaku on Acer Radio, I do enjoy the series, and I will continue to watch it. It's just I don't want our readers to get bored, or listeners to get bored, because it's more or less kind of, I'm saying the same exact thing about every DVD. It's like I said, Maisonikaku is a really great show. It has some really funny moments, some touching moments, some romantic moments, but it moves at such a slow pace that every review I do sounds almost like the same thing. So I decided it's best to move on and just enjoy Maisonikaku without having to report.
So maybe when you get to the end of the series, could we expect a report?
I think that could be very doable.
All right.
I'll say box sets 4 through 12.
All right.
Because seriously, Maisonikaku is like super, super long, like over 100 episodes.
Wow.
So, but yes, this last volume, I enjoyed it, but it's kind of like, oh, I see this one coming a mile away. I'm going to go a highly recommended, I guess. Have a go out on a good note for this last Maisonikaku review. Unless, of course, in the future I decide to, you know, review the rest in one fell swoop. So, what else do we have to review for this episode, DB3?
On the Galactic Railroad and Hyper Police.
Ah, yes. Well, which would you like me to review, DB3?
We
haven't heard much
police
from you, so... Okay, Hyper Police. Hyper Police is an incredibly, unbelievably average anime series. I mean, I'm not trying to rip on it. It's average in a good way. And I'll get to that in just a second. I'm trying to look here, see what year it came out. Unfortunately, I don't see what year it came out. Hopefully, we'll be able to find that in a bit. But Hyper Police is very average late 80s, early 90s anime. It's about, of course, it starts that exact same Japanese thing I was talking about, you know, the setting is the future where mankind has gone and devastated itself and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, essentially there's half demons and full demons and whatnot on the surface along with humans and whatnot. And the half demons and most of the full-blooded demons have integrated themselves into society. However, there, of course, are always criminals and whatnot. And the hyper-police are in charge of going and keeping these demonic criminals under track. They're not demonic, like, horrible demons from hell sort of thing. It's like, for example, the main character of this is a cat girl demon, you know? So right. she looks and acts basically like a human, but with cat attributes. So it's not like they're horrible monsters. They're just demons by name, if you will. Let's see. Yes, 1997. This, you can definitely tell the age because it's all hand-drawn, no computer assist on this, which is nice. I really like the sort of style that this has to it. Like I said, it's essentially about a police force trying to go and keep these people under wrap. There's Botan, which is her perverted partner, her police partner. It's actually rather cute because he's a pervert, okay? Uh-huh. He's a werewolf. And he's just perverted, you know, he likes looking at the girly mags. He looks at girly mags a couple of times in the first four episodes of the show. But the cute part is he can, like, hit on any girl and, you know, he's all pervert and whatnot. But the thing is that he really loves Sasahara Natsuki. He really loves this girl. And so this is where it's charming. The show, it just looks like average, but it's charming. It has that nice style that I like. And because he has this deep crush on her and he likes her so much, he can't bring himself to hit on her.
Oh, man.
And so, like, he always gets nervous around her and whatnot. And, like, whenever he hears that she gets hurt or whatnot, he overreacts. And he's like, Natsuki, I'm coming! And it's just really charming. And she eventually gets a partner named Sakura. And she's you know, a nine-tailed fox, as they put it in this. Or if you will, Kiyubi. But in the end, I don't like the character of Sakura very much, but I do like the way the show's put together. It's just one of those that has no real redeeming qualities, but you really enjoy it anyways. If you will, it's My Helsing. So I really enjoyed Hyper Police. There's not that much to say except Sakura is trying to go and get Natsuki's powers. Apparently, Natsuki, she's a really cute, naive, you know, sweet girl, but she goes and she has some sort of incredible power. Most people are only able to wield one parasite as a weapon, but she actually has two that she can wield.
Wow.
She's able to sense things that others can't, so on and so forth. And Sakura has only grown 8 1/5 tails. So she's not quite nine tails yet, and she was teased as a little girl because she was, like, half-human, and so she only had one tail when she was little. So she wants to suck out Natsuki's essence and get her powers.
Essence of tails.
Yeah, so she can get the final tail. And they end up partnered together and whatnot. It's just a lot of zany craziness, more or less. So it's a fun show. It's just really, if you will, as they say, not eye candy, but just, it's like popcorn, you know? There's a lot there, but it's not that filling. But you enjoy it anyways. So,
right.
I'm going to give Hyper Police episodes 1 through 4, volume 1 of the DVD, recommended.
So that's a recommended for NZ.
Yeah. Alright, so now for the last one. Alright, now DV3. Here, I have the cover, okay, for Night on the Galactic Railroad.
It reminds me of something you, like, Tokyo Godfathers?
Uh-huh.
It sort of reminds me of that cover.
Okay. Now, going off of this cover, I want you to tell me what you think the show is about.
The show's about this young man who meets two or three visitors that are riding the Galactic Railroad and has adventures with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they get in trouble as they're going through the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
He overcomes his problems. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about as much as I can figure out.
Okay. Now let me tell you what it really is. It's the 1985 version of Teletubbies. All right. Check this out. All right. It starts on out in an astrology class. That's the one just about stars, right? Not the mystical readings.
No, that's astronomy.
Okay. Astronomy class. And all these cats are there because it's their school that they go to, all these kittens, if you will. And let's scan here if we can see the name of the boy cat. Young cat-like boy, That's not a name. Oh, well. Anyways, he gets teased by all the other kids in the class because his father went out on a fishing trip up north and was illegally fishing squids or what have you, and so his father ended up in jail, and so he's living with his mother, who's sickly, and his father's not around, and all the kids tease him about this, and so he and his brothers and sisters have to work to earn money to go and keep the household going and to get medicine for their mom. So really cruel little kids.
Wow.
And so there's only one kid that's really nice to him. He's the red-looking cat. That really shrunk it down, didn't it? it's a nice little story, I guess, but unless you've got a really strong, long attention span or you're really young, it's very, very difficult to sit through this show. Because essentially he ends up getting teased and he's got to go to work, which is really slow. He works at a printing press. Then he goes off to like the festival thing and he sees everybody playing there and whatnot. And then the mean bully cat from school ends up teasing him. And so he runs away from the festival and he goes up on this big hill on the like Galactic Star Night or whatever it's called. And then sees this big bright green flash and this galactic railroad train shows up and he gets aboard it and then he finds his nice friend from class is also on there. And they ride on the train together and they see all sorts of like stars and crazy, you know, sky.
Space stuff.
Space stuff. And then I got really bored and I turned it off because it was just, this was like an hour to 45 minutes to an hour into the movie at this point.
Wow.
So it's incredibly slow, incredibly boring, and I'm going to have to give this a not recommended. I mean, I wish I didn't have to, but it's just so unenjoyable. I'm sorry. It's just, I can't make any excuses for it. It's just...
Well, not recommended from NZ.
Trust me, when they dubbed this, they had a really easy time because they had maybe like 20 lines to dub. Because
20 lines. I could have even dubbed that.
That's probably underestimating it, but not by much. It's just not on the Galactic Railroad. Not recommended. And then not much more I can say about that one. All right. Well, as an added bonus for everybody out there listening, DB3 is now going to recite the Japanese hiragana syllabary. DB3, if you would.
Gibe luma ta.
Give it. What the crap sort of crap is that? Haven't you been practicing?
Sorry, NZ, I haven't.
Ah, it starts with ah.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. You got ah next.
B. C D E F G.
That's a very good German alphabet impersonation. But all right, fine. I'll let you go by this time. But I do want you to review Volume 2 of Power Stone.
Volume 2 of Power Stone?
Yes, because we started to watch a little of Volume 1, and I thought to myself, I need DB3 to review Volume 2, so that way I, and listeners out there, know if it's worth bothering the other volumes.
Volume 2 continues...
Plus, you looked like you were totally falling asleep.
Yeah, I was, man.
So I thought I'd have you do that to wake you up.
All right, Volume 2, the Falcon continues on his journey.
Do you need the case for convenience of Volume 1 to remind you of anything?
No, because it won't...
Bright colors!
It does have bright colors. Power Stone is centered for a younger crowd. Reminds me sort of like the animation, sort of... I don't know, I can't think of anything it reminds me of. But it's centered for a younger generation. And with that in mind... I'll review it.
You shouldn't say younger generation, because that means like kids that are in school now will always enjoy
younger
it.
Younger kids.
Yeah,
younger folk. All right, but it's basically it's about Falcon and more of his travels.
You might want to explain who the hell Falcon is.
Falcon is the main character for those who have played the Power Stone game. He's the English guy, sort of like a boxer, sort of. I would think of like an airplane pilot. From World War II, World War I.
Yeah, did he ever fly a plane? Because he's always in this, outfit.
Like that. Like basically, he goes around to the different countries, like the fire country, the water country, lightning country, going around meeting people. He meets other like You know the fortune teller?
Mm-hmm.
Her crystal ball has a power stone
You mean Rouge?
Yes, Rouge. Has her crystal ball ends up having a power stone in it, and she saves her country.
Shock of shock.
Yeah. I don't know. I like, it's in... If you don't have time for anything else...
It is really cute. You like to just look at it. It's just such a nice art style.
Yeah. If you have time to spare and you just can't think of anything to do, that's when I suggest you just turn on Power Stone. I mean, if you have a good 20 minutes...
And not Otogi. No Otogi Zoshi. If you're bored, you'll fall asleep.
Yeah. But this is just a nice anime. I got it for my brother to watch because I saw it. It was cheap. And he quite enjoyed it. It goes with the game... If you've ever played the Power Stone game. So, yeah.
Yeah, looking at the cover makes me think we really need to pick up that Power Stone 2, because it's a really great game. The first game's more like a typical...
I have the Power Stone 2 game.
Well, I need it.
Oh, yeah.
The first game's like a typical side scroll, you know, not side scrolling, but side view 3D beat-em-up game.
Yeah.
The second one's where it really shines.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
But basically, in the second one. He goes to... Where does he go? He goes to a place like Korea. He meets a martial arts guy who has a power stone, or gets a power stone, and he learns how to control it. And, yeah.
A lot more power stones in this anime than the video game.
There's, like, 7 of them.
Hmm.
8 of them.
Yeah. Are you sure they're power stones and not Chaos Emeralds or possibly Dragon Balls?
It's a good question. Good question.
I make fun, but this is actually a pretty enjoyable, if light-brained series.
Yes. I'll give the second volume that I saw a recommended. I mean, it was good enough that I'll watch it again, especially with my little brother. But it's not something that I'll go around telling everyone about. So, just a recommended.
A side note for those who may be interested in purchasing Power Stone, it should be noted that this is only available in the U.S. At English dubbed only. There's no Japanese track or subtitles.
Right.
So, that's part of the reason why it became so cheap. But if you're thinking of getting it, keep in mind that if you're a sub fan, you're not going to be able to enjoy this like you normally would. But I did enjoy watching the episode that we did watch, and that's why DV3 is going to let me borrow this, right?
Yes, I am. I'll even bring the other two discs for you.
Well, let me watch this first before you make a sort of commitment.
You might be able
like
to watch.
That.
You could watch it with your little sister.
See, it's so pretty, so I have to watch it. okay, that was making fun of the audience, by the way. And if you listen to the funny on the last episode, fangirls in general. Okay, but enough of my mocking of my fellow fans. Let's mosey on over to the fan mail section of the show.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right.